Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Hello, folks. You're very welcome to another episode of the Irish Farmers Journal's Young Stock Podcast. I'm news correspondent Noel Barden, and I'll be your host for this week when we'll be talking to Hannah Woods, who will chat about her experience in the VAE's graduate programme. Hannah will discuss the trends she's picking up in cattle breeding, practical advice for the breeding season, and balancing a master's programme with the demands of her graduate programme too. Now let's hear from Hannah. Hi Hannah, and thanks for coming on the Young Stock Podcast. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself before we get into a couple of questions?
My name is Hannah Woods. I'm from Wexford. I'm 24 years old and I'm currently doing a grad program in Dovet Genetics based in Tipperary. So I was in UCD for 4 years doing ag science, and I majored in animal science. So that's kind of where my interest kind of picked up onto the kind of the genetics and breeding end of things.
Would you have come from a farming background yourself, or what kind of... what was behind the decision to go to UCD and do ag science and animal science?
I'm from a horticultural background. My family have a plant nursery down in Wexford, Kilmurry Nursery. So I kind of, my granddad was a suckler farmer up in Elphin in Roscommon. So I was spending summers up with him when I was growing up. I kind of got that that kind of interest in cattle, but it wasn't, I suppose, until I was in around 14 or 15 that I kind of got a bit more of a grasp for it. There was a lot of dairies around us at home, and kind of just got on to a few farmers and they kind of lent me a hand and taught me the ropes, and kind of from there I realized that, geez, that's something I'm quite interested in. Like, we did a lot of plant propagation and kind of a genetic kind of outlook in that way at home, but it wasn't until kind of I saw breeding and the likes of that with dairy herds that I was like, oh Jesus, the same principles kind of overlap between the two, but there's just a lot more, I suppose, a profitability and a livelihood from the farming aspect of it. So that's kind of where the interest kind of came into. And then I thought my first choice was definitely going to be UCD. It was kind of close to home, but it was also just, it seemed like quite an interesting university with the case of sport and kind of the extracurricular activities and the bit of crack as well that seemed to be involved in the college.
You said you got a bit of experience on farms early on when you were a teenager, maybe in secondary school or that. And on the work experience side of your degree, did you do anything interesting? I think you mentioned before that you went to Germany to do dairying. Did you see much different there, or what was kind of the experience over in Germany?
my placement fell during COVID. We weren't lucky enough to go far afield to New Zealand or Australia. Yeah, I got to go over to Germany, to Brandenburg Grassmilch. They're the Costello's brothers over there. They're milking 1,000 cows. So I suppose when you look at it, it's a grass-based system over there, like we do ourselves at home. But it's such a different climate compared to here. So it's just a very interesting way to see how they can work an Irish and New Zealand system into a system where I suppose it's snowing in the winter and they're calving out during the spring. So it was a great experience, and I also got to do my pigs placement over there as well. So I suppose it's great to go abroad and kind of just see the differences, but we got the opportunity to travel around to a few intensive indoor systems in Germany as well, which would kind of be the norm over there. So it was definitely a great learning experience.
It's definitely something different, I'd say, on the German side of things, to see a system more similar to ourselves than the indoor type system. Maybe if we're to bring you forward to kind of where you are now, you're doing a graduate program with Dovet, as you mentioned. Suppose, what would your interest be within it? Would it be more on the beef side or the dairy side, or even for maybe people listening who might be thinking on a grad program, what have you got to do since you started? What's it been like so far?
I couldn't recommend a grad program more, really. Like, coming from college, it was a big step. Like, the last few weeks of college, everyone is discussing their futures and what they're going to do, and some massive companies people are going into. But I suppose the likes of Dovet Genetics, they're a great company and very well recognized, but also it's a small enough company within that you get kind of an insight into every aspect of the business. So when I started, I was kind of between working in the bull yard and the lab processing semen, to where I worked in the dairy breeding program for a year, and now I'm on the exports end. Coming in, I had an equal interest in both beef and dairy, and I suppose it still remains the same. There's such different systems in their own right that it's just, there's constantly changing. I suppose the dairy end of things would be where I'd be mostly interested in, especially with the environmental aspect coming into things now, and the different kind of aspects that farmers are breeding for as well, and the challenges, I suppose, that are held with that too.
Going into a graduate program or getting into the industry in some way coming out of college, it really takes you up to speed on what's current. And you said there's certain traits there that might be on the environmental side that you're starting to see come into the equation a bit more. What are the newer ones that you're seeing? I see TB kind of crops up a bit. You see some people talking about it on Twitter as something that's new that's been added into indexes. And is there any new trends coming out there, or how in tune are farmers even with these newer bits and pieces that are coming into the breeding equation, when it isn't just maybe kilos of solids or cell counts or stuff like that?
Exactly. It's constant. Like, farmers are totally on top of it. Even we can see the uptake of sex semen here in Dovet is scandalous, really. Like, and farmers are prioritising breeding. They can really see the benefit, and not only the economic benefit, but also, I suppose, the environmental benefit. So like you said, the health trait and the TB, where bulls kind of are bought from more TB resistant areas, I suppose that has a massive influence on bull selection, but also, I suppose, the stomatic cells within that as well. But I suppose lads are also looking at the kilos of milk produced, especially with the whole banding coming into play, but also just looking for kind of that 4% protein dam. Like, we'd really focus on the bull dam herself and what she's doing, rather than just the bull's figures as well, because I suppose you can only rely on genomic for a certain proportion of it. You really have to look at what she's doing herself.
You were in the dairy breeding program there for a while, you mentioned. We're seeing a lot on the environmental challenges. Does genetics have a role to play in the whole environmental debate? Farmers are kind of being asked to do more for less, be it on the input side of things or even on stocking rates. Do you think that the genetic side of things could have a role to play in getting more from less cows, maybe, so that farmers could try and hold output, hold production where it is, maybe with fewer cows? Is the scale of the challenge maybe too big for genetics to play much of a role, or are you hearing much from farmers on that?
I totally agree that, like, genetics is a massive part to play, but also, I suppose, the management aspect comes into it as well. But genetics has its place. Like, if you're really into your breeding and you're looking at, you're obviously being told you have to cut the herd, 20 cows lost, you would want to have the best cows you can producing, I suppose, kind of filling in that hole that you'll have. So with that, I suppose, comes a longevity factor as well. Like, you, and the expansion, kind of dairy herd expansion's kind of stopped now, so it's looking at having the best cows you possibly can with the best solids and also producing that extra bit of milk that you are going to lose from these culling practices that farmers are having to put into place, unfortunately.
Definitely. Significant challenges facing farmers, so I suppose any extra tool they can have in the toolbox will be very welcome. Do you see any uptick yourselves, just in terms of workload or whatever, just with the run-up to the breeding season? Are you kind of flat out at the minute? Are you affected on your end of it, or how are you finding it?
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Oh, it's definitely like with the uptake of Sexim and I suppose the kind of push from Chagas and the ICBF and I suppose the genetic companies ourselves, that we're definitely pushing farmers to look towards it, just kind of, I suppose, not to get into the bull calf debate, but just to kind of put that on the end of your finger. I'd say from being here nearly 2 years last year and now this year, like, it's getting earlier and earlier. Farmers are sitting down during that quiet time and really putting a lot more work and effort into selecting a good bull team and having a breeding system in place, really selecting their best heifers and cows to go to that sex. So that takes an awful lot more time for farmers themselves, but also I suppose for ourselves here in Dovey, we're flat out at the minute, and I suppose it probably started the end of February and it'll probably last now until the guts of the end of May into early June, because I suppose sex semen will be used blankly, I suppose, for another few weeks, and then they'll get into the beef end of things. So, but it's really the farmers that are pushing it. They want the best, and I suppose that's what they're going to be given, hopefully.
It is definitely something you can even see going to Mart in spring. There is a lot more beef calves. As you said, farmers are starting to sit down even earlier to start thinking about breeding. If you're talking about late February, sure, it's just when the pedal is coming off on the calving season for a lot of herds, or it might be smack bang in the middle of it for quite a few. But yet farmers are still taking the time to sit down and to start thinking about breeds and bulls. If we're to move it on again, it's not just the grad programme that has you busy at the moment. You're doing a master's as well.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about that? What exactly is the master's in? What are you hoping to get from it?
Coming from doing my undergrad and getting into industry, you kind of realise, you think you kind of know a lot, and then you sit down and you kind of take a step back and you're like, there's an awful lot to learn. And especially because I did my undergrad in animal science, it was really scientifically focused. I decided to kind of try and move into more of a business end of things. So I'm doing a master's in international agribusiness and food chain management through Harper Adams in the UK. It kind of gives me that opportunity to learn also a completely different style of teaching, I suppose, because it's a part-time master's over 2 years. But also it's nice to learn abroad as well, kind of see a different overview and a different kind of industry and sector as well, because the UK, I suppose, is a completely different, they have their own different challenges set to them as well.
That master's, you're doing it over 2 years. How does it kind of work out in practicality, I suppose? Are you doing this in the evenings, kind of when you finish up? Or is it a weekend thing? Or when do you get in your study and your assignments and everything else?
Any bit of free time I have most days, it's in the evenings after I finish work, and at the weekends as well, trying to get assignments done. So it's definitely a lot of pressure and a bit of stress, but hopefully it'll definitely be worth the extra bit of work at the end of the day.
Where do you hope to go in the future? Do you think even with the masters you might stick in genetics and the breeding side of things, or would you be open to going to a different area of the sector? Or do you have any kind of, are there any ideas floating around now, or are you going to wait and see?
I'll definitely wait and see. I remember at the Agri-Careers fair back in college that we were always told kind of take every opportunity as it comes to you and see where you can go. Like, the ag sector is absolutely phenomenal. It's so vast and broad as well. Like, it's a great degree to have under your belt. Like, it opens so many doors to you and so many different kind of working environments that you can only imagine. So I suppose between having that UCD degree and also kind of getting a bit of a business head, hopefully through the masters, that I suppose I'll just kind of look to other opportunities as well. And but also here in Dovey, there's so many doors that can open up from that too.
And just before we finish up, maybe one more question. We're just coming right up to the breeding season now. What advice, maybe from what you would have seen in Dovey, what advice would you give to farmers, be they beef farmers or dairy farmers, on the upcoming breeding season? Is there any tips you have, or what should they factor in? Maybe a lot of them have their bulls picked already and their straws already paid for or whatever, but I suppose what advice would you have for farmers even at this late stage?
Well, like you said, many farmers already have their straws bought and picked for. So I suppose it's just getting out with a pen and paper with your bull team and their main strengths, looking at your own cows out in the yard. Especially, I suppose, you'll have your sexed cows picked. So it's just what suits the rest of them with terms of calving ease, if for your for the cows that are getting beef in the dairy herd anyway, but also kind of looking at the different strengths and weaknesses that can be brought with the bull, whether it be height. You don't want to go over your milk as well when it comes to, I suppose, the banding rules that are in place, but also matching up bulls that come from 4% protein cows or cows with a very high milk yield. I suppose it's just making sure you get that match right so that you don't get stuck in trouble for the next 2 years, like with the whole environmental aspect to it and the net zero carbon by 2030 and all the new legislations, I'd say, that are coming in place. Like, it's the cow of the future you're kind of breeding for in the next 5 years. What do you want your herd to look like? So it's kind of starting now. You need to have that in mind. What's the cow of the future going to look like, really?
Maybe for the farmers listening, in a nutshell, sitting down with a pen and paper just for the sake of a couple of hours to iron things out, it could save you a lot of work in the future. And you're not breeding for what your ideal cow might be now. It's the ideal cow for when she'll come to maturity and into the future. Very timely advice now when we're going into the start of May. Thanks for that, Hannah. Thanks to Hannah for those insights into her work. That's all we have time for this week, folks, but don't forget to come back next week for another episode of the Irish Farmers Journal Young Stock Podcast. Thanks again to Hannah, and thanks to you for listening.
We're currently looking for young people across Ireland to interview on the podcast. If you know someone who's under the age of 35 that has an interesting story, career or experience that you want to share, then send on their name and get in touch with the Young Farmers Journal team. We want to give a voice to young people across rural Ireland. What issues are currently bothering you? Get in touch by emailing youngstock@farmersjournal.ie or send us a WhatsApp voice note to 086 83 66 465.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out at the French Open for a chance to win a Grand Slam title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. See the action unfold as legends fight for glory and new rivalries emerge. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th, with match replays on demand so you never miss a moment. From the first serve to the final point, Roland Garros promises unforgettable moments and new chapters in tennis history. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.